This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, this evening we're going to do two little pieces, but actually on Moed Katan already. I don't know if the you know, I said we're on Moed Katan already. Didn't make it, but you brought Moed Katan over there. That's so brilliant. It's an easy shirt tonight. We're just going to take two relatively short pieces of Gemara, not directly connected. And I'm just going to use them as examples of how one can learn principles out of a piece of Gemara that isn't directly necessarily related to it. It's on Daf Dalad Amud Beis in Moed Katan. Right, so we're on Daf Dalad Amud Beis. It's at the just at the end of the thin lines. Moed Katan deals with a lot of interesting things. When are the times that we're not allowed to do melachas? When are we not allowed to do melachas? So Shabbos is one time we can't do melachas. When else can't we do melachas? Yom Tov. When else can't we do melachas? Chol HaMoed we can't do melachas. And Shvi'is. During Shvi'is again we can't do melachas. And Yovel. So there are similarities and differences between them. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer, can you see that just by the two dots, quoting from the Mishnah, Ein Oisin Es Ha'ama, that you can't build a canal. What are we talking about? Are we talking about a Chol HaMoed, or are we talking about Shvi'is? So the Mishnah said, not on Chol HaMoed, nor on Shvi'is. Now, the laws of Chol HaMoed and Shabbos are very, very different from one another. The definition of Melacha is very different. On Shabbos, what's really important is the intention and the outcome. So if you do something which the outcome was not the intended outcome, or you did it for some other reason, there are all sorts of things we can work around. And Melacha She'en Tzrichim Gufa Nadova She'en Miskaven, and all sorts of things that we can work with on Shabbos. Shabbos has got nothing to do with labor. So as you know, you can the example that is given is that you can carry your furniture around your private estate. You might have a castle, and you can carry your lounge furniture around your castle the whole of Shabbos. And it's not the greatest way to spend the Shabbos, but there's no melacha involved. But if you carry a needle across the street, it can be an isidoraisa if it's a rishus arabi. So it's got nothing to do with labor. It's got to do with technology. Chol HaMoed is different. Chol HaMoed is only about labor. The important thing of Chol HaMoed is how hard are you working. That's the focus of Chol HaMoed. Shemitah, now we've learned a little bit earlier in the Masechta Dafa Tzubek, that there are a lot of limudim, there are a lot of psukim that make Shemitah and Shabbos that juxtapose really Shemitah and Shabbos. So for example, at the bottom of the previous Amud, we had a limud from the posuk of Sheshes Yomim, the Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Dalet, Sheshes Yomim Ta'avoid Vayim Hashvi Tishbos, 6 days you may work on the seventh day is Shabbos, Vechoresh Uvekotsu Tishbos, in the plowing and the harvesting you must rest. So you've got a Shemitah concept and a Shabbos concept put in one Pasuk, and we learn things out of that. And we'll see that the halachas of Shemitah in many ways follow the halakhas of Shabbos. The way we work, not that the same things are also. You can boil a cup of tea on Shemitah, and you can write, it's not the same halakhas. But the way we work with the melachas are very similar on Shemitah as they are to Shabbos. And here's an example of building a canal, which is also on Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. Now that's odd. What is the similarity between Shemitah and Chol HaMoed? Shemitah follows Shabbos principles. Shabbos principles means on Shemitah what we're concerned about is not how hard you're working, but what you're doing for the field. So if all you're doing is turning on the irrigation, and that just takes a second, that could be a problem on Shemitah. But if you're doing a lot of labor that does nothing for the field, that's not a problem of Shemitah. So in a sense, the melachos of Shabbos are more of Shviyas, of Shemitah, are more closely aligned to Shabbos than they are to Chol HaMoed. And our Mishnah says, you build a canal that's also on Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. What's Shemitah going to do with Chol HaMoed? And that's what the Gemara asks here. I understand why you can't dig a canal on Chol HaMoed. Bishum dekot Torah, it's physical labor. That's not what you're meant to be doing on Chol HaMoed. Ela Shviz, my Taylor, but why can't you build a canal on Shviz? You're not watering, you're not plowing, you're not harvesting. What are you doing? You're building a canal. Pligi bo Rabbi Zera ve Rabbi Abba ba Memel. So there's an argument on this between two Amoraim, Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Abba bar Memel. Chad Omar Mipneishen Nir Eke Oider. One says because somebody watching you digging in the field doesn't know you're building a canal, what do they think you're doing? They think you're digging up the field. They think that you're plowing, you're raking the field, you're hoeing the field. Chad Omar Mipneishen Machshir Agapeo Lizriyo. And the other one says, the fact is, as you dig the canal and you throw the soft sand on the side of the canal, you're making it, like plowing it up, you're making it soft and ready for seeding. So, two different views. At this point, we're only interested in the first view. That Nireh Ke'oda, so what do we see? We have a principle in Shviz of Maris Ayin, isn't that so? That this is, we have in many other areas of Halacha. In Shviz, we have a principle of Maris Ayin. Something that looks wrong is wrong. That's the principle of Maris Ayin. Something looks wrong, it is wrong. It's not that people might think and therefore they suspect you. That's chashad, that's different. The principle of Maris Ayin is that afilu b'chadrei chadorim osu. Something that looks wrong you can't even do when nobody could possibly see you. So if you say, well, if I'm not allowed to build a canal because people might think I'm hoeing the field, I'll build a big wall around the field. I'll cover it with a tarpaulin across the top so that even Google Earth won't be able to see it. And I'll build my canal. Nobody will know. There's no ma'aseh, not even b'chadrei chadorim. If something looks wrong, it is wrong. Now we've got to figure out what does look wrong mean? What are the definitions of look wrong? And the Gemara goes on to say, a little bit further down I want to go. Amemer matnilo. It's about 5 lines lower. Well, 6 lines lower at the end of the line. Amema matnilo. Mipnei shenire k'oideh. Amema goes along the line that it looks like oideh, like you're hoeing the field, and therefore it's Maris Ayin. V'kashyele d'Rabbi Loza ben Azariah ad Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. And he has a beautiful kashya. He has a beautiful question where Rabbi Loza ben Azariah seems to be saying two contradictory things in different places. What are they? And he says the following: Me Omar Rabbi Loza ben Azariah kol shenire ke'oder osu. Does Rabbi Loza ben Azariah actually say that anything that appears like oder, like hoeing, is osu? So he's worried about Maris Ayin. I'll ask from the following case. Oseh odom eziv lo oitzer. You're allowed to collect the manure, the fertilizer that your animals have caused, and to put it on a pile during the Shemitah year. So you go into the field, you're not fixing the field, you're not fertilizing, you're collecting the fertilizer and you're putting it aside to use it another time. Rabbi Meir Oseh. In such a case, Rabbi Meir says, you may not do so. Ad shiya'amik shloisha tfochim or ad shiya'gbiya shloisha tfochim. You've actually got to raise the ground 3 tfochim, which is approximately a foot, or you've got to lower the ground 3 tfochim to make it clear that you're putting the fertilizer in a particular place, in a storage position, and you're not using it on the field. If you already had some fertilizer on the field, if olive oil, if you may add more fertilizer to the field, because you're not fertilizing an unfertilized field. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oseh, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even that is not allowed. Ad shiyamik shloisho, ad shiyagbiya shloisho, or ad shiyiten al asera, until you either dig down 3 tvachim, or you raise it 3 tvachim, or you put it on a rock. What's the question? What's our difficulty with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So it says the this is Rashi, and the second thick line of Rashi, Ad Shiyamik Shlesha, until you dig down 3 tochim, or Shiyitin Hazevel Al Hasela Shebasode, or you put the manure onto a rock on the field, the Lo Nirek Kemezabel. So clearly people will understand that you're not fertilizing. But that's consistent. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is worried about Marisayin. He's worried about appearances. Nothing to appear on. As it explains Rashi, V'heichi shori Rabbi Elazar lachpoir lahamik b'shviz. But how are you going to get that 3 tvachim down? What are you going to have to do? It's the Shemitah year, you're collecting your zevel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, hey, 1 second, you can collect it, but you've got to have a ditch that's 3 tvachim deep. So what do you now do? You bring out your shovel and you start digging. Says Rashi, why are we not worried that anybody passing by is going to say this man's working his field? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the one who says you can't build a canal. Because we're afraid that you're going to, people will see it and it will look like a leader. That's what the Gemara asks. On to the Gemara. Chad Omar, Rabbi, again, Rabbi Zayir and Rabbi Abba Bar Memo. Chad Omar Kedon Shehemik. One says it's actually talking where it was dug beforehand. You're right, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would not allow you to dig it. V'chad omar zivloi moichiach olov. And the other one says, he's going to put fertilizer there so everybody will see. The purpose of the digging was not to fix the field, it was to make a place for the fertilizer. What is the principle we see out of this Gemara? We have, by the way, a sunnah. If we go back to the first one, we have a sunnah idea where we said that the two reasons as to why you can't dig a canal in the first thick line of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between the two views, whether it's considered to be, you're worried about Maris Ayin or you're worried about softening the sand on the banks of the canal? Answer the Gemara, Ike benayo de ko'atu mayo basre. The difference would be if he's digging the canal in front of the water. There's actually a pool of water. There's a kind of a collection of water, a reservoir of water. And he's digging the canal. And as he digs the canal, the water's coming. So then there's no marisai, says the Gemara. Which is a little bit like the case of the zevel. If you let him finish, you'll see. He's going to put zevel. He's going to put manure on the place. But clearly he wasn't digging in order to dig up the field. What is the principle we see over here? Do two different cases. The reason for the digging is different. Right? Okay, but he's watering a canal, not the field. So he's not bringing water into the field. He's just allowing the water to pass through the canal to get to wherever he wants it to get to. The idea that we see over here is interesting. We're not worried with Maris Ayin for people who don't watch till the end, who don't watch till the end of the movie. What are we saying over here? He's digging his 3 tvachim. So if I drive past and I see, what do I see? I see a man with a spade in the middle of the field digging. So that's the snapshot. Maris Ayin is not about snapshots. Maris Ayin is about the whole video. You can't take a snapshot and say Maris Ayin. You've got to watch the whole video. If you watch the whole video, how does it end? You get to the end, you'll see he puts his fertilizer there, you'll say, now I know what he was doing there. The same with the water, he's digging the canal. If you just drive past and snapshot, the man's digging the canal. If you look a little bit closer, you see water's coming, he's digging a canal not to not to dig up his field, but in order to provide a canal. So now what is the halacha if you see somebody going into a McDonald's? Is that a marisayan, or isn't it? You're thirsty and you want to go to McDonald's to get a Coke. You've got to watch the whole movie. So if you say, can't go into McDonald's, it's marisayan. It's not. You've got to watch the whole movie. If you sit down at the table and the waitress comes and you order, and she brings you a kosher hamburger, but nobody knows that it's a kosher hamburger, that's marisayan. It looks like a non-kosher of everything. You watch the whole movie and you don't, everything you look, see looks wrong. Even if it's not wrong, he made special arrangements before that they got a special kosher lamahadrin hamburger with separate kalim and everything. He arranged it all before. But if you're watching the movie, you don't know that. That's marisayan. But marisayan is where there's information that's missing that an observer couldn't have. Then it's marisayan. But if the reason the observer doesn't have the information is they couldn't because they looked at a snapshot instead of a movie, that you don't have to worry about. That's not your problem. That's not a problem. So I often give the example that to go into a trefer restaurant and eat something that's not trefer, go into a trefer restaurant and eat a tomato, that's not marisayan. To sit on an aeroplane in first class, let's say, where sometimes they make an effort to make your meal look like everybody else's meal, if it doesn't come in the wrappers, that's marisayan. Even that could be a problem. If everybody else is eating a meal and you're eating a meal, it's not clear that your meal is different from everybody else's meal, that could be marisayan, because you can watch the whole movie and you can see no difference. That's an important principle in marisayan. Sometimes we use the term marisayan, but we don't use it carefully. Marisayan is only when you're watching the whole episode. If you get to the end of the episode and it still doesn't make sense, then you've got a problem with marisayan. No, see, it's a good question. The person watching should also know the halakha. You don't have to worry about ignoramuses and you don't have to worry about fools. You have to worry about a normal, intelligent person that knows the halakha, and even then, looking at the whole story, it looks wrong. You can't rely on the fact that he knows I would never do it. That's still marisayan. If the action looks wrong from beginning to end, then the action is wrong. It's not something that we should do. Yeah.
The action from beginning to end, whatever person comes at the end.
He only sees the end, he doesn't see the first part.
He doesn't see the rest.
Also, that's a good question, would probably also not apply. You don't have to worry about somebody who sees half the story. That's not my assignment. My assignment is when the whole thing looks wrong. Sorry, you want to ask me? Also a good question. You know, when it's the end, when you get to a point in the same story where the explanation becomes clear, but the explanation has to be in the coldly watched. It's got to be like a silent movie. It's not a movie with commentary. If the movie's got commentary, that's not marisayan. Marisayan is you turn the sound off, and you don't know who the actors are. You're just looking at the action. And you watch it till the point where it becomes clear. But if you watch it and it doesn't become clear, the man walks out of McDonald's, that's the end of the movie. The person puts his shovel away and there's no zevel there and he leaves the field, that's the end of the movie. So you've got to go through right to the end of the activity in order to determine whether it's not or not it's marisayan. So that's one piece of Gemara. Interesting, we have a halacha that seems to, as we go through these masechta, sometimes you have a halacha that seems to, it doesn't even apply today, and doesn't apply in chutzlot and outside of Israel, but there are principles that we can learn from every piece of Gemara. There are principles that we can learn. Let's look at the next piece on the same Amud, a little bit further down. This is talking about Chol HaMoed, a very fascinating little piece, and it's about 10 lines on the bottom. Oh, 9 lines. Umesaknin es hamakul kolos b'moed. You may fix that which has become damaged on Chol HaMoed. So what is the example, says the Gemara, my mekulkolos, what is an example of something that has become damaged during Yom Tov? Omer Rabbi Abba, she'im hoiso amuko tefach ma'amido al shisho tfochim. a case over there is talking, Rashi explains, Shoyso Amuko Tefach, five lines from the top of the thick lines of Rashi, Kloma, that means to say, Shelechatchilo Hoyosham Emes Hamayim Bashisho Tzvachim. Initially there was a canal, a channel with water that was 6 tefachim in diameter, 6 tefachim deep. Again, 6 tefachim is about 24 inches, upside in centimeters, 2 feet, so it's about, I don't know, 2/3 of a meter, so about 600 centimeters, about 60 centimeters. Venistimo ad tefach, and it became blocked until it was only a tefach. Ma'amidu ad shisha tefachim, you may remove the blockages and build it back to 6 tefachim. So you may dig another 5 tefachim. So you've now got this long canal, so it's a lot of work. But that's okay, because you're fixing something which used to work. You're not building a new canal. So it was 6 tefachim deep, the canal. It's become 1 tefach deep. So you've got to, on Chol HaMoed, you're going to have to dig 5 tefachim, and you're allowed to do that. That's the example. Says the Gemara. Pshita, it's obvious that you can use the same equation and test things out. Chatzi tefach al shloisha tefachim. If it were 1 tefach, half a tefach, and you've got to restore it to 3 tefachim. So what we've done is we've halved the measure on both sides. Instead of going from 1 to 6, we're going from half to 3. What's the difference? The difference is kivan de loy ovar maya loy klumot. 3 tefachim is not a canal. The Gemara says 3 tefachim is not enough for water to pass through in any kind of meaningful quantity. So you haven't repaired anything. You started with half a tefach, and now you've got 3 tefachim. It's still not a canal. And therefore, would it be allowed on Chol HaMoed or not? It will not be allowed on Chol HaMoed. It's not allowed. For Chaim al Shneimasar, what about 2 to 12? Still the same ratio. So now you're digging 10. So in the first case, you were digging 5, and the second, and that was allowed. The second case, you're digging 2.5, that was not allowed. Now what about 10? That's also not allowed, because Talak Tuchi say that's too much work. Also not. Those cases not. So for Chaim al Shiva Maru, what about going from 2 to 7? What's the question? We know 5 is allowed. You can go from 1 to 6, that's 5. So to go from 2 to 7 is also 5, so surely it should be allowed. That's the one side of the doubt. Or Dilma, or maybe, kivan de ika tefach yetzero, iko tircho tfe. Perhaps because there's an additional tefach, that's called too much work. Take the Gemara doesn't answer. What is all this about? Let's look at the Rashi. So the one Rashi we learned already. The second one, chatzi tefach al shloisho, im hoiso bitchilo bas shloisho tefachim, if it started off 3 tefachim deep, ven nistemo ad chatzi tefach, and it got blocked up to a half a tefach, the vada in a chuzer v'chofer oison shnei tefachim u'mechze, certainly you cannot dig the 2 tefachim and a half, af agav David dumyod oiso amuka tefach o'ma'amidu avav tefachim, even though proportionately it's no difference to going from 1 to 6, going from a half to 3, still you cannot do it. Why? Kivan de nekoreloi avri bomai, klemar, vadai ba'amo bas shloisha tfochim, a canal that is 3 tfochim deep, loy avri bomai shapir. The water doesn't flow well in any case in that. Loy kodim lefein v'loy akshav. It doesn't, when it was 3 it wasn't flowing well, it's not flowing well now, you're not fixing anything. Havitirche deloy tzorich. So Rashi introduces us in this Gemara to a new concept in Chol HaMoed, that there are cases of tircha that are allowed. There are certain things that even though they are troublesome, even though they entail labor, to some degree they are allowed, provided there's tzorich, provided there's a need. Now here's my question to you. We said that in Shabbos, the outcome is important when we look at a melacha. Is it the dover she was covering? Is it the malacha she tzricha legufo? Is it something that can be used? Is it something you intended? Because in Shabbos we have the idea of malacha machsheves. Shabbos has to be a mental halacha, something that you actually implement an idea in a physical form. That's what you can't do on Shabbos. Shabbos we have to live in the world of ideas, not in the world of manufacturing, in the world of production. So to take an idea and produce the idea in a physical form, that's what we don't do on Shabbos, because that's what Hashem stopped doing on Shabbos. One of Hashem's Shabbos gracious. For 6 days, he took ideas and he made them into physical form. Come Shabbos, he stopped making ideas into physical form. That's what we don't do on Shabbos. Now, on Chol HaMoed is different. It's got nothing to do with that. On Chol HaMoed, it's just Chazal wants us to enjoy our Yom Tov and stay at home and do nice things and not be worried, not have to, not do labor-intensive things. Now Rashi says, but if there's a tzorich, it's okay. What's it got to do with tzorich or not? Where do we have such an idea? That's more of a Shabbos idea. It's not a Chol HaMoed idea. Let's go further. So Chaim al Shnei Masa, to the Chatchilo is for Shnei Masa. Originally it was 12. At least the Ma'ad Shnei Tzorchim, and it got blocked down to 2. Also Lahamik Oed Yud Tzorchim, Alois and Shnayim, Arishonim, you may not deepen by another 10. Ishun David Tzirchi Yaseh, that's too much work. The Komami Kokach, like Bia Kakoyis Aguma Lamaila Mishisha Tzorchim. That's too much to deepen the canal to that degree. That's too much tircha. What about for Chaim Ashiva Tzorchim, 2 to 7? The Nistamar Shnei Tzorchim, and it came down to 2. Ma'u La'ami goes on Chamisha Shishtayru, to dig an extra 5. So we know already you're allowed to dig 5. But to go from 2 to 7, is that the same as going from 1 to 6, or isn't it? Why do you think it might not be the same? Yes, by 5. By 4, yes. By another 4, the need is satisfied, which means the last tefach is unnecessary. Exactly right. That's exactly what Rashi explains. That is Hamishu Kamamik. We've already established that you're allowed to go 5. That's not called Tircha Yaseira. It's not called too much work. Here you're also only going down 5. So 5, if we've determined that 5 is not too much work, what difference does it make if it's from 1 to 6 or it's from 2 to 7? Or on the other hand, you don't need the last tefach. What is Rashi saying here? And the Gemara says it. That because you don't need it, he doesn't say it's too much work. It doesn't say it's unnecessary work. What does he say? What does that mean? It's too much work. What does the Gemara mean? It's not too much. It's no more than the other. You might say it's the same amount of work, but for odd reason. And that you're not allowed to do. But that's not what the Gemara says. Let's look at the words again inside carefully in the Gemara. 5 lines from the bottom, but near the beginning of the line. So Chaim al Shivo Mahu, to go from 2 to 7, what is the deal? So what's our dilemma? On the one hand, Hochot Chamisho Kamamik. In the first case, which we know you're allowed to go from 1 to 6, you're digging 5 Tzorchim, and we know that's okay. And here also you're digging 5 Tzorchim, why shouldn't it be okay? Or Dilma Kivan Deike Tefach Yisero, or since there's one extra unnecessary Tefach, because the canal works well at 6, it's not going to work better at 7. So that last Tefach is, we would expect the Gemara to say, unnecessary. But the Gemara doesn't say unnecessary. The Gemara says, there's additional work. There's too much tircha. Was it too much tircha? Now one could say that it means unnecessary work. But I want to suggest that there's another idea here, another concept. And that is, work that has no purpose is harder work. So for example, we know in the laws of slavery that you're not allowed to work your slave the ferret. the Perach, which is the way that Paro worked us. What was the Perach of the work that Paro caused us to do? So some say it was the men did women's work, women did men work, work that's inappropriate to you. And the other view in Chazal is what? What did he do? What did he do? Sorry? Yes, they would build these things and they used to collapse, build it on quicksand. So we were doing work where there was, that's called the forest. And from that, the Gemara says, that when the Torah forbids us to work our servants or slaves before it, that means you ask the servant to boil you out the kettle and then you pour it out. You don't have a cup of tea. Firstly, it demeans the value of the work in the eyes of the worker. But here we see something else. It makes the work harder. The work is not as pleasant. The work is not as easy. So the example that I sometimes give in a business scenario is, I say to an individual, I say, I don't know what you're earning, but I have a job for you. So let's say, Basil, I say to you, I don't know what you're earning, I've got a job for you. And here's what I promise you. You will earn at least 10 times what you're currently earning. The job will be something you're capable of doing. I'll provide you with all the skills and training you need. You'll have 3 months a year holiday, and you'll have a bonus. If you work well, your bonus will be double the salary, so you'll get 20 times what you're earning at the moment. And you can have the job for life. Right? He's ready. Basil's ready. Everybody's competing for the job and everybody wants the job. So now Basil turns up all excited and he comes in his nice suit and tie and everything looks all fine. And I say to him, that's suit and tie. That's not what I had in mind actually. So you better just get into some, you know, shorts and a t-shirt and come back. He comes back, shorts and t-shirts. I go out into the yard and I give him a shovel and I say, okay, what I need you to do is to dig a hole 2 meters deep and 1 meter in diameter. And Basil looks and says, that's the work? Yeah, that's the work. And you're getting good money, you don't have to worry. Yeah, I'm fine. Off he goes. He's digging. It's outdoors. The weather's glorious. He's thinking of his 3 months holiday. He's thinking of his bonus at the end of the year. He's figuring out what to do with all the money he's making. He digs away. He's excited. He's happy. And I come out there and I say, wow, look at the hole. Beautiful hole. But the sand on the side here, where are you going to put the sand? So you'll say, well, wherever you want me to put it. I'll say, well, Basil, why don't you put the sand back in the hole? Why should we leave the sand here? Put it back in the hole. So he thinks I'm a little odd. What does he care? He's earning good money, puts it back, comes back to me. So Basil, that's really nice, you got rid of the sand, but where's my hole? All right, so he digs the hole with a little bit less energy than the first time, perhaps. Same story comes. Where do you want me to put the sand? Put it back in the hole. Okay, how many times am I going to be doing this? That's all for the rest of your life. This is what you do. This is your job. You're going to dig the hole and fill the hole and dig the hole and fill the hole. But what do you care? You're earning good money. What happens to his motivation? At what point does he start saying, how long can I do this for? And what happens if I do exactly the same? But instead of digging one hole, we dig the hole, and before we put the sand back, I say, and here's a sapling. And put the sapling in the hole, and now fill the hole. Now do another one, and another one, and another one. And Basil says, how long? I say, this is your job. This is what you're going to be doing. This is your job. No promotions. I didn't promise you promotion. I didn't promise you you'll become a manager. This is what you do. And you say, well, what's all this for, and why am I doing this? I say, because if we can plant enough trees quickly enough, we can actually save a whole community from getting into famine. So you go as fast as you can and get these trees growing. Now what's happened all of a sudden to his work? The work is easier. That's what the Gemara told us. It's not just that, okay, now he's got motivation. The work is easier when you understand why you're doing it. That's very, very important. The work is easier when you understand why you're doing it. And too often in business we give people jobs, but they haven't got a clue why they're doing it. And the work is hard and it's draining and it's miserable. And we think it's okay because we're paying them. It's not okay. Torah says we're not allowed to do that. And here we have an example. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, the important thing is the difficulty of the work. The intensity of the labor is what Chol HaMoed is. Not Shabbos. Chol HaMoed is intensity of labor. And what are we measuring here? To dig a canal from a half to three is too intense, although to go from 1 to 6 is not. Why? How can that be? How do you explain that? If digging 5 tfachim is allowed, who cares whether you're going from 1 to whether you're going from 2 to 7 or 1 to 6 or less than 5 tfachim, you're going from a half to 3. What's the difference? If we've established that that amount of labor is okay, no, it's that amount of labor with purpose. But that amount of labor without purpose is too much labor. That you're not allowed to do on Cholamim. It gives us a whole understanding of working on labor. The very first project I did was at Western Area Mine Company, which at that time belonged to JCI. And it was a time when the gold price was fixed, and labor costs were increasing, the labor unions were becoming aggressive, labor costs were increasing, and the cost of mining the gold was reaching the cost that was reaching the selling price, and there was no margin. And they had done everything they could do in terms of efficiencies, and costs were still going up, and they were going to have to close the mine, and that would have been devastating for society. This was in the 80s. And what I did there was really interesting. I discovered that the miners didn't really know what they were doing. So I asked them, what do you do? They said, we dig. And I went down with them to see what it feels like, what that work is like. It's not one tefach to six, and it's not 2 to 7, and it's not 2 to 12. This is a couple of kilometers underground, is where they work. It's hell. It's absolute hell. They showed me where they work. And I said, so what are you doing? They said, we're digging out gold. I said, well, this doesn't look like gold. They said, no, this is rock. And from the rock, they crush the rock up and they make gold. I said, it's interesting. What do they do with the gold? He said, they melt the gold and they make it into bars. I said, that's interesting. And what do they do with the bars of gold? The miners said to me, they sell the bars of gold to the government. And I said, what does the government do with the bars of gold? They said, they dig it there, they bury it in the ground. Which is not untrue at that time. That's kind of what they used to do with gold at that time. So all of a sudden, it struck me, this is Basil in the first job. So they're working under such conditions, producing stuff which they believe ultimately just goes back into the ground in a different form. So there's no value, there's nothing to what they're doing. So we did an experiment. What would happen to productivity levels if we made the work easy? So the organization said to me, but we've done that already. We've given them the electric shovels, and we've given them this, and we've given them cooling, and we've made it as easy as we can. I said, yes, but you don't know the Gemara and Moed Kotel, and that's done it. The way to make it work easy is not just by giving tools. The way to make work easy is to give purpose. So we showed the miners what gold is used for, how it's used in radiology, how it's used in various parts of science, how it's used in medicine. We showed them what a woman feels like when she gets a beautiful piece of jewelry, how it binds people together and connects people and makes people feel good. That's what gold is. And we gave them lots and lots of examples of that and let them see that. And as we spoke to them, you watched them just sit taller and taller and taller as we spoke. Watch them sit taller. And productivity went higher. And thank God the gold price increased, and Western Area was very happy. And they still don't know whether the gold price increased because they got a rabbi to do the job. And do we have, he had some connections, or whether the workers, but what we did achieve was considerable increases in productivity just from people understanding the truth. What I'm doing is important. People understand what they're doing is important. It's easier to do it. One can do it. I don't know, you might remember about it. You used to go to my mother's intermediate group ever at Yovel Shul. Do you remember that shul that she used to give? And I remember she used to give an example of the difference between being told you have to walk down a path, a very narrow path, 2 kilometers long, with terrible barbed wire on each side. If you just deviate a little bit, the barbed wire is going to not only rip your clothes, but it's going to rip your skin, and you've got to get from the one side to the other. And she used to describe what you feel like when you get to the end.
And then she used to say, scenario two, same path, just as narrow, same length, you've got to walk it, no barbed wire, on each side are the most beautiful flowers, and if you step wrong, you're going to spoil the flowers. You have to walk through it. What do you feel at the end of it? It's a different kind of feeling, it's the same job. When something has value and is important, the job is easier. And we need to be able to find that within ourselves, to understand the importance of what we're doing, to help understand the importance and help people that are working for us and with us understand the importance of what they're doing, because that makes the malacha easier. That makes it easier. You see what gold there is in Gemara? Just a little halacha that kind of one goes through and thinks, okay, next stuff. And every piece of Gemara is like that. That's what Shas is. Every piece of Gemara. Just gems of human insight into how the world operates and why it operates that way. Okay. So we'll leave the